Good morning.
Morning.
Y'all all doing okay this morning?
Yeah.
We come here to church to worship and praise our Lord and hear His word being taught and preached. So let's get started with the worship service. If you don't mind, stand up with us. We're going to start with one of our old hymns. It's so sweet to trust in Jesus.
Jesus Messiah.
Christ is our hope, and that we have that hope to lean on. God, as Jamie comes to bring your word this morning, I pray that you would just anoint him in the message that he's bringing, and that you would open our ears and our hearts to hear those words. And thank you, Lord.
All the way through sixth grade. I hadn't even said break yet. Break. Break again. That's a good thing, right? They're so excited about going, they jumped up before we told them to. It's not that they weren't following directions. They just couldn't contain the excitement. That's what it was. So I got to start off by apologizing because, you know, everybody always says, Jamie, you can't preach, but what you do is you get us out by 12, and we really appreciate that. So last time, it was like 12:05. So I want to start off by apologizing for those 5 minutes. And it's going to be my goal for 11:55 today to get you those 5 minutes back. But now there's one problem. This isn't a watch, and I don't have a phone. And there's no clock on the back wall. So if you don't tell me it's 11:55, I'm just going to keep right on going, all right? That'll work for you. See, only like half of you clapped. That means the other half of you was going, yeah, you bet. I'm on point. Yeah, we're not going. Okay. If y'all will turn in your Bible to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 14 through 22. This is a very familiar letter. So, a letter to the Laodiceans. I'm sure y'all have read it many times. It's a tough scripture. It's a really tough scripture because Jesus just kind of puts it out there to this church. And y'all, when I say he puts it out there, I mean he puts it out there. He doesn't say very many good things in this scripture till the end. Of course, he always saves the best part for last, right? Because that's what Jesus does. So as we look at this today, what I want you to think about is, y'all, we have revival coming up starting next week, right? Okay, we're calling it week one because we don't want to be traditional or whatever and call it revival, but it's revival, okay? And we want to get revived and all those things. And so what I want you to look at when we read this, the first thing we're going to look at is three very common stumbling blocks to revival. Three things that really hold us back from being revived in our relationship with Christ, okay? So let's start off, and we'll start off in verse 14 and we'll read through 19. It says, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent." Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us through your word. I pray that you would open it to us this morning. God, help us to see it and hear it like we never have before. And I pray most of all that these three things that really hold us back from revival, that you would just help us to overcome these things today. God, that somebody in here that doesn't know you would come to know you today. And that those of us who have become a little rocky in our relationship with you would overcome that hurdle, Lord, and draw closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you read the seven letters, what you notice is that in all seven letters, Jesus introduces himself a different way. And there's a specific reason he introduces himself the way that he does in each letter. And if you noticed in this letter, in verse 14, he says, "These things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, and the beginning of the creation of God." Now, what's he telling you? He's saying, number one, I'm the beginning of the creation of God. I was here from the beginning. I know all. I've seen all. I was here. I'm the faithful and true witness. So everything that comes out of my mouth is the truth because I've seen it all. And I'm the Amen. And you know, when the preacher's preaching and you say Amen, are you agreeing or disagreeing? You're agreeing. So you're saying what he said is the... Y'all are so good. Oh my goodness. This is great. We got a smart congregation. I was worried about that question. I was afraid somebody would say something silly. Yeah. Hey. See what I'm talking about? No, thank you. So what he's telling us is that everything I'm about to tell you in this letter is the truth. And you need to listen and hear everything that I'm saying in this letter because it's the truth. And when he writes this letter, see, the very last verse, verse 22, says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what Spirit says to the churches." Does that mean he's only talking to this church back then or even churches today? That's right. He's still talking to churches today. So what he says is the truth. And the first thing he says in verse 15, he says, "I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. But because you're lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Now that's a tough scripture because nobody wants to be anybody's throw up. Amen? You ever, like, is that a dream you've had before? Like, I really wish I could be that guy's throw up. That would be so cool. Some of y'all who have weak stomachs, I'm sorry, we're going to talk about throw up for a minute because it's in the Bible. If you have a weak stomach, you might want to step out at this point and leave. And I'm going to give you a second to get up, so... Nobody's looking around at you. It's okay. You can get up. Yeah, right. I know everybody's looking. Like, oh, who's going to be the guy to get up, man? Right. So, you know, kids throw up at school all the time. And so I'm walking up down the hallway and you see somebody that's throwing up and the teachers are walking by and the kids are walking by like, oh, you got to get that clean. And I walk by, I'm like, yo, we had corn for lunch today. We had tacos. There they are. See, I can do the throw-up thing. Other things I can't do. I'm fine with the throw-up thing. But there's one thing I don't want to be. And I do not want to be God's throw-up. Right. Amen? Amen? I do not want to be his throw-up because his throw-up is not a good thing. Now, I've heard people tell me before, they say, well, I'd rather be God's throw-up than not be with God at all. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think God keeps his throw-up around, does he? You think he throws up on the floor and just leaves it there? No, he doesn't. He uses lukewarm for a reason, okay? Because the people in Laodicea, they didn't have any water. They didn't have a water source. All their water was brought in from the outside. They brought in hot water from one place. They brought in cold water from another place. Now, both of these places were at least 6 miles away. Was the hot water hot when it got to them? Was the cold water cold when it got to them? What was it? Oh, y'all are so good. Y'all are so good. I'm going to go back to school and tell all my teachers that they should have been to church today and learned how to question people and get the right answer. Y'all are great. Y'all are wonderful. I appreciate it. Ma'am. Just for that, it's going to be 10 after 12. No, I love you, Miss Barber. Thank you. I'm not going to tell them I cheated. I'm just going to tell them y'all got the right answer. So, yes, that is right. By the time the water got to them, it was lukewarm. Now, what they used hot water for back then was for medicinal purposes. So if it's not hot anymore, by the time it got to them, could the doctors use it for healing? No, they couldn't. Absolutely not. They used the cold water for drinking. By the time it got to them, it was lukewarm. How many of y'all enjoy drinking lukewarm water? Not very many. You'd rather have cold water, right? So was it good for drinking? So what was it good for? Not much of anything. But there is one thing that lukewarm water was good for. Doctors would use it to make people throw up. If you were nauseated or you were having stomach trouble, they would give you lukewarm water to make you throw up back then. So why does God use the example of lukewarm and saying he'll vomit you out of his mouth? He's being very personal with this church. He's saying just like that lukewarm water that y'all have that the doctors use to make you vomit, that's what y'all are to me. And when you look the word lukewarm up, it actually tells you that it means the tepid. It means tepid. Y'all know the word tepid, right? And when you look up the definition for tepid, it had a really surprising definition when I looked at it, because it said that it means a lack of enthusiasm or conviction. And I really got to thinking about that. So even beyond the fact that he was telling this church that y'all are basically useless to me, other than making me vomit, he was saying y'all have no enthusiasm. You have no convictions whatsoever. You've allowed all of these things into your life, all of these moral things that should not be in your life, you've allowed them in. And it's just steadily pushed me out. You have no enthusiasm about me. When y'all woke up this morning, and y'all got to be honest, how many of y'all went, "All right, man, let's go to church today. I'm so excited and pumped up. Woo!" Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, holding on nine. Y'all, if I was an auctioneer, I'd do the, you know, 9, 9, 9, get him a 10, 10, 10, got a 9, 9, 9. But I'm not, so I'm not going to try it. So just 9 out of 150. All right. Thank you, Lord, that 9 out of 150 people were enthusiastic about coming to church this morning. I'm not going to lie to you, my alarm went off this morning because, you know, when I preach, I like to get here early so I can be here just by myself for a minute and pray and stuff like that. And my alarm went off at 6 and I looked over at it and went, "Nah." Hit the button and it went off again a few minutes later and I went, "Nah." And hit the button again. We went through that 3 or 4 times and then I got up and came to church. So y'all, we're all guilty of it, right? We're all guilty of the lack of enthusiasm thing. You got something important going on and you start thinking about it. Does it stress you out or do you get excited about it? And that's what Christ is telling the church here. He's saying, guys, when you first accepted me, y'all were all about me. Y'all were ready to go for me. And now you don't care. You're just there. There's no enthusiasm. You're lukewarm. And I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth because of that. The next thing he tells us is in verse 17. It says, "Because you say I'm rich and become wealthy, I have need of nothing, and you don't know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." Now he uses this example for a very specific reason too. You know, God does that. He'll be very specific with you. He tells this church, "You think you're rich," because this is one of the wealthiest cities in the world at this time. They made fine garments and they sold them all over the place. Matter of fact, there was a horrible earthquake that came through, and when it hit, their city was just about destroyed, but they didn't ask the Roman government for any money to help them rebuild. They took the money out of their pocket and paid to rebuild their city. That's how much money they had. So this is a very rich city. But Jesus says, y'all think you're rich, but you're really not. What's he tell them? He says, "You're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked." And y'all, he uses these examples for a very specific reason. They're loaded, man, they're wealthy. They've got all kinds of money, but he tells them they're poor. He says, "You're blind." Y'all, there was a very famous medical school in Laodicea. And the thing that they were most famous for was ear ointment and eye ointment. So if you were having eye trouble back then, you had the eye drops right there. You'd put them in, you could see, you were fine. But he says, "Uh-uh, y'all are blind. You just think you can see." And then he tells them that they're naked. And if y'all read the Bible from cover to cover, what you notice in here is that it was not a good thing to be naked. That was a very shameful thing. You know, just imagine right now if we were all not wearing clothes. How awkward would that be? Don't really imagine it. Some of your minds go the wrong place, but, you know, it'd be awkward. Imagine me standing up here looking out. I mean, it would just be so, I'd have to preach this way, and then that'd be awkward for y'all. So, I mean, it'd be just awful the whole way around. Being naked is not a good thing. It's a shameful thing. And what he's telling this church is, y'all, you think you've got it all together. You think because you can pay your bills on time every month, and because you can go to Walmart and buy a couple extra things if you want to, because you have all the nice clothes that you want, because you have the car that you want, because you have this, that, and the other, you're actually poor. You have nothing. You just think you do. But when you really peel back the layers, he says it's ugly what's on the inside. In other words, he's telling them your character is ugly. Your soul is ugly. Yeah, what we see on the outside is great, but it's superficial. It means absolutely nothing if what's on the inside doesn't match what's on the outside. Y'all, he's jumping all over this church. Do you hear what he's telling them? Do you hear him? You're lukewarm. I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Y'all don't really care about me. You're just there. And then he turns around and says, and on top of that, you just think you're rich, but you really have nothing. Well, he doesn't stop there. In verse 19, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. But if you read that in the New Living Translation, it says, turn from your indifference. Turn from your indifference. And if you look up the definition of repent, that's what you'll find. So Jesus is not only telling them these other things, but he's also telling them, hey, y'all are also indifferent. Now let me ask you a question. When it comes to abortion, okay, I'm going to hit one that's easy to answer, right? You're either for it or you're against it. True or false? Is there a middle ground? Not really. You're either for it or against it. So when it comes to Christ, would you rather him say, you're either for him or against him, or you're just kind of there? Which one would you rather him say? You'd rather him say you're for him, but you know what? You'd also rather him say you're against him than say you're just kind of there. Because if he says you're just kind of there, guess what's going through your mind? You're good, right? I'm good, man. I do all the right things. I go to church. Man, I sit in the same chair every time I come. I listen to the pastor. I nod my head. I say amen every once in a while. I laugh when he says something stupid. I laugh when he talks about preaching naked, things like that. I mean, that's what I'm supposed to do. Sometimes I come to Sunday school. Maybe not. I listen to K-Love, man. That's some points for sure. Maybe you listen to AFR, whichever one. I don't know. And we think everything's cool. And that's the problem. Jesus is saying that's worse than being an unbeliever. It's worse for you to think you're okay than actually not be okay. Because I want you to think about something for a minute. If you take a piece of steel and you heat that piece of steel up, what can you do with it? Yeah, you can mold it, bend it, make it into what you need it to be, right? If you have a piece of cold steel, can you take it and heat it up and make it into what you want it to be? Absolutely. But what if you have a piece of steel that was warmed up and then allowed to cool back down? What happens if you warm it up again? Yeah, it's going to break apart when you try to move it. It's not worth a flip. And that's what Jesus is trying to get across to this church. Y'all think because you have everything you need that you're okay. But you're not. So the question becomes, how do these things hold us back from revival? You think about it. If I think I'm okay, do I think I need to be revived? If I think everything's great, do I think I need a spiritual awakening? If I've allowed certain moral things into my life to take over my thought processes, do I think I need to change anything? If I've become indifferent towards what God is doing, do I care if He moves or not? No. I don't care at all. And y'all, I told you this is a really tough scripture. And when I talked to Big John about this, I said, I'm going to preach this with a smile, okay? And we kind of talked about that for a second. And he was like, man, you got to, preach the word. And I was like, I know it's too tough, though. I think I need to preach it with a smile so people will feel better about themselves. And he looked at me and he said, why? So they can be indifferent? Man, got me. So I'm going to try to be serious, and not smile at all. I don't know how that's going to work out, but I'm going to try. So y'all, there's three things here that will keep us from getting closer to Christ. And I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm actually going to ask you to do this. Some of y'all have been Christians for a very long time. Some of you have been Christians for a short time. How many of y'all would honestly admit that you struggled with one of these three things at one point or another? That doesn't mean right now, but just at one point or another, you've struggled with one of these three things. Go ahead, put your hand up. Amen. Thank you. For those of you who maybe are thinking about becoming a Christian, you can look around and go, hey, you know what? They struggle too. Because we all struggle. But there's good news in this story. And a lot of times when you hear this story, if you look in the commentaries, they'll tell you there's no redeeming quality in the Laodicean church. But I disagree with that. Now, I'm not a theologian by any stretch of the imagination, and I didn't write any books. But I disagree with that, and here's why. Let's look down in verse 20. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What does Jesus tell the Laodiceans? He says, I'm knocking. If he had given up on them, would he be knocking?
No.
If there was no redeemable quality in them, would he be knocking on their door? No. But he is knocking on their door. And he's knocking on our door today too. And here's the thing about the door of your heart, y'all. There's no handle on the outside of the door. The only way Jesus gets in is if you let him in. Which means you have to open the door from the inside and allow Jesus to come in and take over. I think about this as a defibrillator. That's just where my mind goes when I read this scripture. I think of Jesus as a defibrillator because a lot of us Christians, we're just sleepwalking. We're just walking through our Christian life, just going on about our business, doing the same thing over and over every single day because that's just what we do. And Jesus is knocking. But I don't think he's knocking like that. I think he's got the paddles and he's warming them up. You know, y'all watched the emergency room shows, right? I think one used to be called emergency room. And he charges the paddles up. I don't know the noise it makes. I've never personally had to use them, thank the Lord. But we have them in the office. You know, he charges them up and when he knocks, he's actually going, and your body kind of jolts and you're like, man, what in the world? You know how you get those chills sometimes? I don't think it's really a chill. I think it's a defibrillator. The Lord's trying to get to you. That's what it is. And he's trying to shock your heart. And you know, you're like, oh man, that golly, leave me alone. And he does it again, and then you get shocked again. And all of a sudden somebody gets up and they preach that Jesus is trying to shock your heart. And you're like, oh my goodness, that's what that was the whole time? I thought I was having a heart attack. No, it's Jesus trying to bring you back. And so y'all, when he's knocking on your heart, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. He's trying to get back in because we have pushed him out. Does that mean that he's just totally left and gone away? Absolutely not. He's still there. He's still knocking and he wants to come back in. He's just waiting on you to open the door and let him in. So how do you overcome these three stumbling blocks? It's really, really simple. Open the door. Open the door. That's it. Look up in verse 18. I know y'all thought I was done. Y'all are so excited. It's not 11:55 yet. Nobody's pointing to their watch. Don't tell me what time it is. It's 11:43. I just feel this. The Lord just spoke to me. or the front row. Verse 18. Jesus says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. And y'all, I hope you heard what he said here. Because remember, I told you he was very personal with this church. Very personal with this church. He says, buy from me gold refined in the fire because they're rich. They think they've got it all, but what he's telling them is your money's flawed. Because without me, you might as well throw it in a fire and burn it up because it means absolutely nothing. What can you take to heaven with you? Well, yeah, you take something. Take you. Don't forget yourself. Good grief. You could take yourself to heaven and that's it. You're going to take any of your stuff with you. You're going to load up the U-Haul and say, hang on, Lord, I got to hook it up. You know, it's like, can you give me some pixie dust so I can fly up? You know, I mean, it's not going to happen. Isn't it pixie dust? Isn't that right? Tinkerbell, pixie dust. Anybody? Yes. Anybody? Okay, thank you. You can't take anything with you. So what he's telling them is, he's saying, listen to me, y'all. What I need you to do is I need you to give me your heart. And I need you to let me put your heart through the fire. Because when it goes through the fire, all of the impurities, all of the things that don't need to be there are going to be taken away. And when it comes out, it's going to be pure. And so then he says, put on the white raiment, the white garments. What does white stand for when we're talking about clothes? Purity. So he says, all these fine garments that y'all have that you got rich off of, I'm sorry, this is the only word I know to use. They're crap. They're nothing. Take them off and put on these white clothes that I can offer you. And really see what it's like to be close to me. And the last one I think is one that we look over a lot of times, but I think it could be the most important one. Because remember, I told you this place is famous for their eye ointment. So he tells them, he says, I need you to anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. If God was done with this church, if there was no redeemable quality in this church, would eye drops help them see? No. They'd be blind. And eye drops wouldn't do anything, but they're not blind. Because he says, if you'll put the eye drops in, you'll be able to see. And folks, here's what I'm getting at. When you go to Walmart, what do you see in Walmart? The 100 million things you have to buy, or the 55 people that walk by you that need a word from God while you're walking through? Have you taken his eye drops and put them in lately and said, Lord, show me what you're doing around me? Y'all, I don't like talking to people when I'm out because I have to do it all day long at work. And so when I go out, you know, you just kind of want to relax. Y'all understand how that is. You know, you don't want to have a 3-hour conversation with somebody. You just want to get what you got to get and go home. And I think a lot of us have become like that. And the Lord's working all around us all the time, but because we won't put his eye drops in, we don't have a clue what he's doing. But what he tells us is you want revival? You want to get closer to me? First off, give me your heart. Second off, give me the outside. See, he takes the inside. Then he takes the outside. And then he says, then let me show you what I'm doing around you. Church, if we open our eyes and look around us, we'll begin to notice a lot of things that God's doing. And the conversation will change from, oh, this world's just going to hell in a handbasket, and I just don't know what we're going to do. Just all this stuff's going on. I can't believe they passed this and passed that. And it'll change to, God, thank you for showing me what you're doing around me so I can impact the people that I come in contact with every day. Y'all, the Great Commission, people say, the Bible says go, right? It says go. No, it says as you are going. In other words, there's people at your job that need you to speak a word to them. There's people at your house that need you to speak a word to them. There's family members that need you to speak a word to them. There's people in Walmart that need you to speak a word to them. There's people at the gas station that need you to speak a word to them. You understand where I'm going with this, right? There's people all over the place that need you just to take 5 seconds. And that sometimes that's all it takes. Walk by somebody and say, hey, Jesus loves you and I do too. Have a good day. You're on about your business. And you never know. You hear stories all the time about somebody was going to kill themselves and somebody walked by and said, hey, look, I love you and Jesus does too. And they didn't kill themselves. It took that person 5 seconds. And so, church, here's the good news. Jesus isn't finished with us yet. Amen. When he died on the cross, that wasn't it. When he died on the cross, he rose again 3 days later. And that's the best part of the story. Because we have a living God that we can go to and say, you know what, Lord? I have been looking at my wealth a little bit too much. I have become dependent on myself a little bit too much. Lord, I thought I had it all together, but I really don't. Lord, I thought I could see what you're doing, but I realize I can't. And you know what he'll do? He'll walk right in that door that you just opened. And he'll do the opposite of everything that you just said. So church, we want revival. It starts in you. And it starts right now. Bow your head. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you would be willing to speak to us. And God, I pray that this message came across with the understanding that you are working in us. You are working in Christ Community Church. And God, we can see it in every ministry that we have. Lord, we can see it every time we get together. We see that you're moving. We see that you're working. And I pray, God, as this revival begins next Sunday, that you would begin to work on the hearts of every single person in this place right now. Begin to move us towards that revival, God, an awakening, an opening of our eyes that we would begin to see what it is that you're doing. Lord, I'd also like to pray for the people in here right now that don't know you. And I pray, Father, that they would give their hearts over to you right now. For those of us who have just simply pushed you out the door, I pray, God, that we would open that door and let you right back in. And Lord, I know what you can do through Christ Community Church is going to be big and it's going to be amazing and it's going to be awesome and wonderful if we'll just submit ourselves to you. And I pray that we would do exactly that this morning. Father, I just thank you and I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If the ushers will, go ahead and come up. Had to check with them, make sure that was all right. What time is it? 11:52? You're welcome. If y'all bow your head, we'll pray for the offering. Lord, thank you again for your word, God. Thank you for every person in this place. I pray this morning that we would give as you would have us to give. Lord, not be scared to give the 10% that you ask of us, but also not be afraid to give more than that, knowing that you will provide every need that we have. And if we will give and be obedient, that you will provide more than enough, Lord. God, I just thank you and I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, real quick, after church, we're going to have a quarterly financial kind of update to let you know where we are and everything. So if you want to stay for that, stay. If you don't want to stay for that, I totally understand. So if y'all will bow your head, we'll pray and be dismissed. Lord, once again, thank you for your word. We can't thank you enough, because without your word, I don't know where we'd be. And thank you, God, for each person here. I pray that you would move in their hearts and their lives this week. Help us just to have a good week, Lord, and remember you in everything that we do and everywhere that we go. We thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready, break. Oh, hey, I love you. Thank you for letting Big John be your pastor.